morning to us from the book of Psalms, beginning the first chapter and the first verse. This can be found on page 843 in the Pew Bible. And it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the wicked will perish." And then we go to the Gospel according to John on page 1680. And I begin on the sixth verse. "I have revealed to you those who you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given to me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None of them lost except the one doomed to destruction, so the scripture could be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not in the world, and more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified." This is the word of God for the children of God. At this time, I'll turn the service over to Joe, and he's got words of wisdom for us this morning. Thank you, Joe.
I should apologize beforehand. The only words of wisdom do come from God. This morning, we're going to look at a prayer in a little different way. And before I read the scriptures I picked out, or God's led me to pick out, I want us to think about prayer a little bit. All week long, I was struggling with, what he wanted me to do this Sunday morning. He's gracious and he allowed me to write a sermon and be able to post it on our internet, and hopefully all of you get to read it, and maybe we'll do part of it today. We'll see. But he kept putting these songs in my head. I got thinking about it, and I got thinking, with all this happening in the world, and all the prayers that have gone over the past year or 14 or 16 months, with what's been going around in our country, and how many times have you thought, God just isn't speaking? Isn't there a silence that seems to be happening here when it comes to how we hear God? And I thought it was really important that we talked about prayer this morning. But God led me to this song that was done by Andrew Peterson that he wrote. And I probably heard it the first time quite a few years ago now. I couldn't tell you what year it was. But he wrote a song called The Silence of God. And it really started to touch my heart. It made me think about prayer. And sometimes it's how we don't hear him. So I thought, I need to share that this morning. So I'm going to sing The Silence of God. And this is by Andrew Peterson. It's enough to drive a man crazy. It'll break a man's faith. It's enough to make him wonder if he's ever been sane. When he's pleading for comfort from thy staff and thy rod, and the heaven's only answer is the silence of God. It'll shake a man's timbers when he loses his heart, when he has to remember what broke him apart. When he's new, this show may be easy, but this burden is none. When the crying fields are frozen by the silence of God. When a man has got to listen to the voices of the mob, who are reeling in the throes of all the happiness they've got. When they tell you all their troubles have been nailed home to that cross, what about the times when even followers get lost? We all get lost sometimes. Oh, there's a statue of Jesus on a monastery knoll in the hills of Kentucky, all quiet and cold. He's kneeling in the garden, silent as a stone. All his friends, they are sleeping, and he's weeping all alone. And the man of all sorrows, he's never forgot the sorrows he carried by the hearts that he pawned. So when the question dissolves in the silence of God, the aching may remain, but the breaking does not. Oh, the aching may remain, but the breaking does not. In the holy lonesome echoes of the silence of God. Isaiah wrote in chapter 65, verse 34. He wrote, before they call, I will answer. Talking about God. Think about this thing. He said, wrote, before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. I want to talk about prayer this morning. In this verse, when I read it, and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and it kept going over and over in my mind, I got thinking, how amazing this really is, that we have an opportunity to pray. Even when it seems like God isn't speaking to us, like God is nowhere to be found, he's in silence. But yet he speaks to us, and he speaks to us even before we ask him. He already knows what we want. He already knows what we need. And sometimes while we're even running our mouth, he opens us up to his will, to his life. Years ago, I wrote a song who was kind of about a girl in this same situation, looking for God's prayers, and maybe she couldn't find it. I don't know, but God led me to write about it, and I thought we better share it this morning and think about her life a little bit. She's cold, looking for someone all to be with through lonely nights, days alone. She walks to an empty church as she prays to God by my side. For I'm afraid, afraid, lonely nights. A prayer that's worth praying is heard, my God, and always, it's always opens a door. The door was left open wide, he goes closing tight, sees a girl on her knees in prayer. As she prays to God be by my side, for I'm afraid, afraid, lonely nights. A prayer that is heard by God and always, it's always opens eyes. With tears from love ears, ah, she sees him, and he says, hi, it's cold outside, the door was disturbing you, but that prayer you've prayed, I've often prayed it too. A prayer that's worth praying is heard by God and always. Open your Bibles to 1 John. Chapter 5, verses 9 through 15. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is a testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. And anyone who does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Let's pray together for a minute. Father, we do thank you that you're with us, and we can be confident of that today. Bless us this morning in all that we do, in all that we say. Open our hearts and our minds to really understand and know your will for our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you were confused when you got the bulletin in the mail and you saw at the top of this, the heading of my sermon it was supposed to be today, it was ASAP, I am with the I am. Who was confused? Besides Jim. I know Jim was confused. That means you're all techies. This is great. You're all going to do great today, because I'm going to give a quiz. So how many of you own a cell phone? Come on, cell phone. Who owns a computer? How about an iPad?
My hands are still folded.
I see that.
Yeah.
I see that. But you can still pay attention.
Not here, apparently. But
you may need to know this information.
Okay.
So anyway, so the other day I got a text, and I was really confused by it. I got this text, and I got a reply. The reply was, TTYL. I'm thinking, TTYL, what does that mean? What does that actually say? I'm not real good with them acronyms. So I had to look it up on the computer. So I looked it up, and I found a whole bunch of interesting stuff. I was going to see how techy you guys are today. So I included this in my sermon. So if you read it online, you may have to look back through a couple times, just so you don't miss an acronym. Here's the test. So if you know the answer, just shout it right out. ASAP.
As soon as possible.
FYI.
For your
information. About LOL. KIT. I have to keep in touch. And there's one mark. All right, TTYL. What does that mean?
Talk to you later. Absolutely.
How about ILU?
I love you.
BCNU. It's BCNU. You know, kids usually, if they're playing with their phone, doing something they shouldn't have, and they wanted to change the subject, they put POS. Okay, we're all on the same page. How about I am?
Instant message.
Absolutely. I was up here, actually, PJ came up the other day, and my brother came up, and we had a group of us up there trying to figure out all this technological stuff. So I thought, well, maybe we needed to educate ourselves on it this week. So I got studying it, and then I got applying it to prayer because, you know, we can instant message God. We can instant message with the I am. Instantly. All the time. We just got to have the right connections. You got to be connected. We had a problem with the phones. Kathy will back me up on this. We've been having phone issues. We've been trying to get the right connections going. And I thought, so we have to understand the connection. And even if you have the right connection, why is that? So I got looking at it, and I got looking at the study of John, and I'm thinking, all right, so we got a connection because I know I'm saved. How do I know I'm saved? Because John wrote to us here. He says, so if you're connected with God, so all of you are believers, you're connected with God. You need to have confidence in that. I'm thinking, what does he mean? We got to have confidence in this connection. So who can you have confidence in? Well, Jesus taught his disciples right from the very beginning. When they learned to pray, what was the first thing he taught them to say? We all say it every Sunday. Our Father. We can be certain that our POS, parents over the shoulder, right? We need to talk to our Father. I'm thinking, parent over the shoulder. So I know three people who can have confidence in me, and their names are Judy, Bo, and Joe. And why? Because they're my children. Well, John told us, through Jesus, we become children of God. So we know we have the right connection. Now, how do we talk to Dad? How do we talk to Dad? What is it we have to do in order to talk with Dad and be certain that he hears us, that he talks to us? We have to pray. So how, when we approach God in our prayer, how do we want to make sure that our prayers get higher than the ceiling? So I think of this example of a mom, and she gave her daughter a little color and storybook of the Bible. And the first thing the little girl does, she takes it, she sits down, and she opens it up. Reprimand back a little bit. He's thinking, all right, maybe I better ask before I speak. And she looks at the little girl and says, Susie, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Says, well, I'm circling God. Why are you doing this on every page? He says, so I can be certain that I know where to go when I need him. How many of us know when we need God, we actually go and look at the storybook he gave us, the Bible? I think we lose it sometimes. And John knew that because the people back then knew it. They missed the point where he said in verse 14 and 15, which I really love them verses. I really focused on them. And I want to read them to you one more time. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we'll have what we ask of him. Isn't this all about prayer? Isn't this all about how we talk to God, how we can instant message him constantly? Of course, we got to put him number one on our buddy list of people we want to instant message so we can receive the messages back from him instantly. But the only way we can do that is we have to do it confidently. How do we do that confidently? Well, we have to be committed. What did he tell us? He says, we know. Verse 14, it says, that if that of the confidence we have in approaching God is that if we ask according to who he hears, and if he hears us, whenever we ask, we know that we have what we need. We have to be committed to him. We have to know. Sunday school this morning was a great example. So, and I got thinking about one of the stories I was going to share this morning about sometimes we don't know what we're looking for. So we don't know what to ask for. And I got thinking, well, it's kind of like a guy that's a little bit inebriated. And he's out under the street light, and he's looking on his hands and knees, and he's looking all over, and his friend comes up to him and says, Sam, what are you doing? He says, I'm looking for my keys. I lost my keys. He said, well, let me give you a hand then. So his buddy, he gets down on the ground, and they're both looking for him. And they're not seeming to find him under the street light. And he looks at Sam, he says, so Sam, where do you think you lost him? Well, they're over there. Well, why are you looking here? He says, well, the light's better. You know, sometimes we need to go back to ourselves. We need to find a place where we lost connection with God and recommit to his will in our lives. We're like an inebriated man looking under a light just because it's bright over there, when actually we need to step back. We need to go to the place where we lost that connection, where we lost that confidence because we weren't committed to his will. I think about commitment. I think about the story about the farmer who's out plowing his fields, and he's doing it the old-fashioned way. He's got an ox and he's got a mule, and they're plowing together, and he's going through the field, and he's working them pretty hard. By the time he gets these two critters back to the barn, and one's looking at the other, the ox looking at the mule, and he says, you know what? I'm tired. I think tomorrow we ought to call in sick. Well, the mule looks at him and says, we can't do that. That wouldn't be right. He said, yeah, but I'm awful tired. He said, we still wouldn't be right. Well, next morning comes, the farmer comes in, hooks up the mule, gets him ready to go, and the ox is just acting sick. So the farmer, he gets him some fresh oats and hays, and he feeds him, takes care of his need, and takes the mule out, and they go out and they do the day's work. Well, at night when they come back, the mule comes back, and the ox looks at the mule and says, so how'd it go today? And the mule says, I'm really tired, but we made it through all right. He says, so did the old man say anything about me? He says, no, not a word, not a word. So night goes on, and the next morning comes, and ox is thinking to himself, well, that worked pretty good yesterday. I'm going to do that again today. I'm going to be sick again today. And so next thing you know, farmer's hooking up the mule, takes the mule out. He leaves some extra grain and oats for the ox. Ox is in there enjoying his day, and the mule comes back. He's really beat. The ox looks at the mule and says, how'd it go today? And the old mule, he says, oh, it didn't go well. We didn't get much accomplished, but we survived it. And he says, so did the old man say anything about me today? He said, no, he didn't talk about you at all. Of course, he did stop and talk to the butcher. You know, we can LOL at that. But I think about, that's what happens to all of us. Sometimes when we don't make that confident, that committed connection to God, we're not convinced anymore that he loves us. Because in order to pray to God and to be confident that he hears you and to find that answer, we have to make that connection through Christ. And we have to keep I am-ing him. We have to keep I messaging him every moment of the day if we need to. He won't get tired of it. Like that verse I read to you in Isaiah. He knows what we need before we ask him. He supplies it while we're still speaking. Because we have the right connection through Jesus Christ. We need to be committed. Need to be confident. We need to be sure that we know that whatever we ask, He hears us. Let's pray. Father, be with us this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises that you have given to us. Help us this day, from this day forward, to instant message with you constantly. We do pray this in the name of your Son, through whom we have eternal life and forgiveness forever. Amen and amen.